Now entering Nerdist.com.
It's the Nerdist Writers Panel on the Nerdist Podcast Channel. Ben Blacker talking writing with writers. Writers talking writing can get pretty exciting. The talk can be lightning. It's very, very frightening. Ben Blacker talking writing with writers. Yeah.
We have the creators of Ghost Girls, which came out yesterday on Yahoo. How do people find it? Before you introduce yourselves even, tell us how to find this awesome web series.
Well, you go to Yahoo Screen.
Or just type, go to, don't...
Just Google it.
Just Google.
How will people get Google?
It's not possible.
You need to be one Google. Of the elite.
Can they Bing that?
Just type in Ghost Girls, girls with a G-H-I-R-L-S, in any one of your search engines, a search engine of your choice.
AltaVista.
Yeah, AltaVista. You could do Netscape Navigator, anything. And you'll get taken to the right place.
All right. And go check it out. We were just saying how great it is. I'm a fan. Genuinely.
Great.
Maria doesn't believe me.
No, I believe you.
But I wouldn't have asked you guys to be here if I didn't really dig it.
This is true.
I like it a lot.
No.
Let's go around. Please introduce yourselves.
Oh, hi. I'm Amanda Lund. I act in Ghost Girls. I wrote it with these two guys. And I guess produced it.
I'm Jeremy Connor. I also wrote it with these two guys, and I direct it.
I'm Maria Blasucci, and I acted in it, and I co-wrote it with these two gentlemen, and I also produced it.
And you guys did a really great job. I hope people will watch it and really like it, as I did. Tell me how this thing came about, because, you know, I kind of know you guys. I didn't even know you two were working together, Amanda and Jeremy. And I knew you, Maria and Amanda, you guys have been doing stuff for some time together, right?
Yeah.
So tell it. Don't mind her. She hates this part of the interview. Ugh, they get to know each other.
Yeah, Amanda and I met in college doing a play. We were doing Picasso, the La Panagile.
Oh, mm-hmm. Steve Martin.
Mm, yeah. And
wait, are there two lady parts in that?
Yes,
there are. I was Suzanne, and Maria was
Germaine.
Germaine, the bartender.
Yeah.
Okay.
And after that, we became friends, and then we lived together senior year, and that's when we decided to start doing web series because we weren't getting auditions. So we thought we gotta generate our own content, and so our friend Andy directed them, and it was fun.
What kind of stuff were you guys doing early on?
We had a web series called Little Mysteries, so it was just sort of a weird... Maria and I lived together in the web series, and just each episode something weird would happen.
But like, there was only like two episodes.
Two of them. But then we did a sub-series called Mini Mysteries, where there was maybe six of those or something.
Yeah, and they were about 30 seconds.
Yeah, they were very short. So we just, I don't even know where those are now. They're just kind of scattered around the internet.
And on, you guys streamed, you had a show. You had a one-hour show.
That's true. We also had a show on the stream.tv, which I don't know if it's still around.
I think it is, but we got fired.
We got fired.
Wait, what was it, and why did you get fired?
Jeremy was a guest on it.
Yeah,
I was a guest once.
Yeah, in one of the earlier episodes, one of the best episodes.
Oh,
it's
please.
Called... Late Night Lemonade, and it was basically an online live talk show that Maria and I hosted, and each episode, it was once a week, we would have a guest on, and it was basically us just sitting in front of these weird TV screens, right? And then we would interview a guest, but there was a lot of pressure to get celebrities on, and we didn't know any, so... I mean, we had our nice friend Jeremy on. Which
not
is...
a celebrity.
But... Well, now you are.
I know.
Mm. Sure, the very famous Jeremy Connor.
But anyway, yeah, we weren't pulling our weight, so they canceled us. And every once in a while, we wouldn't have a guest at all, so we would just do a Hot Topic show, like how The View does.
But we still have some very devoted fans that watched Late Night Lemonade that are really excited for Ghost Girls. God.
What was your what was the most successful segment?
Oh, What's Cute This Week, which is a segment run by me and Amanda. And it's just where I highlight what's new and cute this week.
So give me an example. What was new and cute?
Well,
it was visual. It was very visual.
So a baby on a Roomba.
All right, I think I did
it.
Or like a cat in a knit cap. you know.
Wasn't there also another segment though that you guys?
There was Tickle Time. Yeah. Tickle Time. Tickle all time. The pervs loved that. It's when we'd go on our perv cam, which was it showed our legs, and then Amanda would start tickling me.
Oh my!
And then
God.
There was the pregnant Amanda.
Oh yeah, I made that when things.
Marie would just Photoshop my face on a pregnant lady's body because I don't like that.
You can still find them if you go. If I would recommend Jeremy's episode to watch in the bot.
Jason's, right?
And Jason Ritter's on. And we also have one with Bobby Lee and his brother, Steve Lee.
Where we go on a double date
with them. And you can go on, if you go on Google or any search engine, just type in Late Night Lemonade and you can watch all the episodes.
Wait, how many of these did you guys
do? We did a lot.
Hundreds.
No, we didn't do hundreds. No.
Thousands.
No.
It ran for 10 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's syndicated.
Sure.
Gosh, I don't know, maybe like 20?
Oh, that's a lot, though.
More than 20.
I don't know.
And they were each an hour.
They go over an hour. Like, people had to stay for a while, and really.
And were you two generating all the content?
Yes.
Barely. It would be like the afternoon before, and we'd be like, we don't know what to do. We found this website called Face in a Hole, and what you can do is you can just take a picture and put someone's, make a hole, and put a person's face in that hole, and that became a lot of the content. pregnant Amanda, or like, you know, anything you can think of.
And so how did this end? Do you want to talk about it?
They pulled the rug out from underneath us and left us on the street.
We had a funeral episode. That was the last episode, and Amanda started crying really hard. It was
because
really
Maria
nice.
Wrote a beautiful song.
Oh
about
my God,
our
I
time.
Didn't I? I forgot about that.
What was the song?
I can't even remember, but it was sad.
I know. I'd love to go back. And do
we
it
need a nostalgic song for this episode of Ghost Girls that we're finalizing. The one thing that we need right now is one.
This isn't going to do it.
It's not the right one.
It's got a lot of references to Late Night Lemonade. It could work.
The fans will love it.
It's a. We need like a Joe Cocker. Wonder Years.
For what episode?
For the last one, where we flash back to you guys as kids.
Oh.
We've been using the Joe Cocker's.
I say keep
Beatles.
It in until someone says something.
But you,
I think the Beatles is. I don't know if that's.
People
a good idea.
Might say something. Someone might say something.
No.
All right. So, how long ago was Late Night Lemonade?
A couple of years. Maybe, okay. maybe 5 years ago.
What? Amanda, she always does this. No, Amanda. You always.
6 months.
It was like 3 years ago.
No, it wasn't, girl.
Yes, it was,
We
girl.
Were in college.
No, we weren't.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, for the first... No,
yes,
we weren't.
Yes, we were, because I remember rushing from class to the Late Night Lemonade studio.
Right, but the last episode was like 3 years ago.
Because we did it for a couple of years.
I know, but he said, when did it end?
Okay, well, we don't know. That answer is no one really knows.
It seems like there's no way to know.
Obviously, it has not ended for us.
I know. I'm still going through it every day in my head.
After this experience, which was clearly traumatic, what became the goal? I mean, I know you guys are both working actors as well as creators of things. So I imagine you were out auditioning for things, but also creating your own content.
Mm-hmm.
How did Ghost Girls start to take shape?
Well, we had met Jeremy.
In a park.
We didn't actually meet in the park.
No, we didn't meet in the park.
They saw me. A friend of mine had tricked me and convinced me that him and his band were playing a show in the park, in Pan Pacific Park. And he said, come with me. We're going to play a show this afternoon. And I play the musical song. I've done it for you, actually, I believe.
And he played it on Late Night Lemonade.
It's been a while. But I was asked to go play with this guy, and I got there, and then I realized there was no show. We were just, like, four dudes busking in a park.
Was there a girl playing the drums?
I don't even remember. No, I think that was a guy.
Oh.
With the long hair.
Okay.
So we saw Jeremy in the park, and then MySpaced their band.
They're like, hey, because we were, like, one of four people watching the show.
How did you guys wind up there?
We were living together, and we, like, never went to Pan Pacific Park ever. We were living right across the street, and we decided to take a walk that day through Pan Pacific Park.
Oh, my God.
And, see, you never know what's going to happen. So always take a walk.
Mm-hmm. So you MySpace the band, you started chatting.
Yeah, the main guy of the band was like, hey, MySpace us, we're the Wild Yaks. And so when we got home, I was like, hey, guys, saw you guys play today. You were awesome. And then he told Jeremy that he had to take me out for coffee. And then I got scared because I didn't know who Jeremy was.
It was a weird meeting. But then we met, and it turns out we had some friends in common. Mm-hmm. And then we just started talking about stuff, and I saw the stuff she did online, mm-hmm. and I thought the two of them were brilliant, you know, comedians, and especially, I think, together, their rapport is incredible. Mm-hmm. And we decided, okay, we got to figure something out.
Mm-hmm. All right. So when did this conversation start to happen? How long ago?
When did you win Sundance for?
Oh, thank you.
What were you doing there?
Yeah, Jeremy, what were you doing at Sundance?
I remember we ran into you guys there that year. That was like 2008, 2009?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So that's when it started, because you had just won.
For Drunk History,
just
right?
Drunk History, yeah. Yeah.
So after he won, he had a lot of heat behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we said, we're freezing cold out here.
Yeah, let's hang on to your coattails. And so we decided, yeah, whenever that was, 2008 is when the Ghost Girls discussion started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was... I mean, I think we had come up with a bunch of things, and you had said at one point, oh, what about ghost hunters? We're ghost mm-hmm. hunters. And mm-hmm. we sort of started going down that path, and it started opening up a million sort of possibilities. The supernatural is a really funny world, mm-hmm. especially for them to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about those characters for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Were these variations on characters? Were these created whole cloth? Where did these come from for you guys?
I think they grew out of just our natural dynamic a little mm-hmm. bit. Just we have a two-person improv show that we do where we play all sorts of characters, but I think even hosting Late Night Lemonade and then doing some of our web shorts, this was kind of just a natural dynamic that we wanted to grow a little bit and then heighten to make these characters who are very different but also similar in a lot of ways. So
mm-hmm. yeah, and who they're smart, but they're not very smart. Like they're marching to the beat of their own drum in a way. And
yeah.
The drum is very slow and you know.
I don't get dumb from that.
No, I didn't say dumb.
Well, you said not smart.
That's not dumb.
Good point. You're right. You're right.
I do not consider myself smart, but I am not dumb.
But I love how weird they are.
Yes.
I guess that is it. I mean, it is it's marching to the beat of their own drums, mm-hmm. drummers. What is your natural dynamic like? You're not doing it now.
Oh, we are. You can't tell.
It is not funny now. Put a camera on and it'll finally be funny.
No, I'm actually, like, just following up from what Amanda was saying. Like, how did you guys hit on that dynamic, and how did you heighten it for, you know, the fiction? Can you describe it?
Well, Amanda and I have a very... We have this certain kind of humor that we both think is really funny, but I don't know how to explain it. It's just kind of very weird. But we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I think no one makes me laugh like Maria does.
You don't make me laugh like you do.
What?
No one makes me laugh like you do.
No one makes me laugh.
Like, the other day, someone was saying something about, because on the message boards for the trailer for Ghost Girls, people were saying how it was, like, liberal. Like, what were they saying?
What?
It was,
we were pushing the liberal agenda.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then I went, I don't even know what that means. And Amanda went, oh, like Harry Potter. And I went, oh. And everyone around us went, what? And I went, no, I get it. But like,
do you want
like
to explain
that.
It to us?
Because Harry Potter, they got all mad.
Yeah, and it's like Ghost Girls.
Oh, sure, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we do have similarities to our characters. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it. I'm scared to draw.
You don't want to explore it too fully.
No, how Jeremy?
It might go away.
Maybe Jeremy can tell us.
Yeah, what do you see in these guys? I mean, you directed all the episodes,
yes.
right?
Yeah. I mean,
how did you bring that stuff out of them?
But really, it's just about letting them
really?
Do it.
That's taking our leashes off.
Yeah, exactly. It really is just about like putting them in situations and then letting them do it. I mean, we wrote every word of it out, and then we sort of would get there. And then what's fun about about Ghost Girls and about the supernatural and about like ghosts who haven't crossed over and need help and need to figure out their unfinished business is it's all the stakes are huge. And people, it's life and death, and people are being haunted, and they're terrified. I mean, this is the scariest thing in the world for these people. So then juxtapose that with two girls who are not really good at what they do and are sort of get very easily distracted.
Yeah.
So what was once you guys kind of hit on this concept and you knew who the characters were, what were the next steps? Did you sit down and write a pilot? Did you go and try to pitch this places? What happened after
you
that?
You know, I can't remember. We did a pilot presentation, but I cannot remember how that started. How did we like brainstorm together?
Yeah, you guys used to come over and we would just brainstorm. Mm-hmm. For a while, and we wrote up a little...
Like a 10-page script.
And then we showed it to that company Partisan that I was represented by.
Right. For a commercial. He was doing a lot of commercial work, and you had leftover money, right, from a... Or is that just lore that
They said they'd skimmed 10% off of your commercial budget or something, and then they gave us, like...
Is that not true? That's the lore. We both heard this.
Well, I think it's more like they were asking favors for, you know, the commercial people have so much money, so yeah. It's easy to have people work for free for a week, couple days.
Because they wanted to start, Partisan wanted to start getting into some web content. Is that right?
Honestly, I don't remember.
But you created this, the pilot presentation, for another entity.
Yes.
Well, we wanted to just put it. We didn't have anywhere to put it. We just wanted to put it up on YouTube or something. Mm-hmm. And then we got $4,000 from Partisan, and then they gave us this crew, this amazing crew, and this amazing DP, and editors, and this amazing composer, Dan Gross, who worked with us on this as well.
And did every episode of Drunk History now.
Yeah. Oh, really?
As well.
I mean, really amazing.
Cool. So, yeah, so this little web short that we had intended ended up being a really awesome 9-minute pilot presentation that ended up getting attention, and people were like, WME signed on, Electric Dynamite signed on, and we're like, oh, we should pitch this as a TV show, which we hadn't even intended.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was always intended to be a web series.
I thought we just put it on Funny or Die as a one-time thing.
Yeah, we did not not an exclusive anything. Just we put it up ourselves and no one watch it.
But you had to know that the idea had legs.
I just don't think we were even in that mindset. I mean, we had nothing we had ever done had ever gotten any attention. Really, I mean, and so I think we just thought, this will be fun to work with Jeremy, maybe someone will see it.
Yeah, because Jeremy had just won, you know, Best Short at Sundance with Derek Waters. You know, and we felt that this might get more attention than if we just did it ourselves, and it would be better than if we just did it ourselves,
We had no idea. Honestly, it was one of those things where I walked on set and Christian Spranger, who's like the greatest DP.
He was so good. He did so much.
And he was shooting. From the first second I was like watching it, I was like, wait, this is much better than I think I realized this is going to be. I really had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like, even I saw that original pilot presentation and... Even looking at the current episodes, they look so much better than you would expect web material to look. And you know, like, we shouldn't be surprised by that anymore, but, like, there's a real high quality, not just of the writing and the acting, but it looks fantastic, and the pace is terrific. It's really well put together. I mean, we're not supposed to say this, but it feels like a TV show. You know?
Yeah.
Like, web stuff is supposed to be what it is, and we're all proud of it and whatever, but, you know.
That's awesome.
TV is still what we're all aiming for. That's high quality.
Yeah, well, we were developing it at the Sci-Fi channel for like a year.
Yeah.
We literally couldn't get past a 5-page outline for the pilot.
Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
Just about what the process was like?
Well, we couldn't... If I remember correctly, we couldn't get a lot of answers from them. Like, we would send them something, and then no one would get back to us for a very long time. And it was just, like, this very long process. And also, they wanted it more of an origin story of, you know, how did these girls come to be together? They wanted this big story, which... we thought was kind of going to make these characters suffer, because what makes these characters so funny is that you just kind of drop them in situations, you know? It's not so much this, like, big story. It's just this little... It's just something small, and they wanted something big.
I think what we ended up doing with them was they wanted only one of us to have the power
And the other one get it.
Yeah, and so then we see how the other, like, it would affect our dynamic, how the other one, I think Angelica, Maria's character, didn't have the power and I had it. And then in the pilot episode, she receives it because our great-grandmother dies.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a will, and it's, and then there's a struggle, and the mayor is trying to shut us down, and there's a struggle for the house. Like, it turned
it, it goes right, it went right from... like a really simple thing to, and the whole thing was like, we don't want a premise pilot.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it was like, but maybe, and then they start reading it and they're like, well, what if it's a Genesis story? Okay, now let's amp that up even more and make it just a regular like sci-fi channel.
It became an hour drama, basically.
It did.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's,
which is fine. I mean, that's what, and they decided that they didn't want, you know, comedy content, you know, after a while, which, you know, that's what it wasn't for them,
right.
and it wouldn't have been a good fit, I don't think, anyway.
They were doing a bunch of comedies, and none of them went.
And they still don't have any.
It's a weird thing to do, because you're directly making fun of all the
what they do.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, even though if they watch it, I bet you those fans would like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird, I think, as people in charge to accept that they're openly making fun of their audience.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Was this the first development experience for you guys?
For Maria and I, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I had done actually a similar thing before. I had been in development on a couple things, but
mm-hmm.
The main thing was this thing, This Is My Friend, which I made with Eric Edelstein and Jake Johnson. And that was actually pilot presentation. We shot it in a weekend and then NBC ended up developing it. And we were doing that for a while. That's how we got our agents and managers.
Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. So it kind of died over at Sci-Fi, which these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, obviously... there was still interest in it, I would imagine. I mean,
not for a year.
Really?
There was nothing. We hadn't even thought about it.
Once it landed there, people said, okay, it's there. And then
It
was like a year later, and we got a call from
Shine America,
mm-hmm. saying, hey, we showed it to Yahoo. They really want to do it.
Oh, interesting.
They have money left over from their seasons of, you know, Burning Love and all this other stuff. If you can make this by the end of the year, you guys can do it. And we said,
they said that in September or October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we said, what does that mean? They said 12 11-minute episodes. And
that's pretty long for web content. Mm-hmm. That surprised me looking at these, that they would allow them to be so long. And it's a luxury, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Although, the flip side of that is the question, like, was it hard to fill those 11 minutes?
No, it was hard to keep it under, because I think the show could be a 30-minute mm-hmm. show. Each episode really could be. We went into shooting with like 16-page scripts.
The thing was, the big thing was, is when we were writing them, I think we might have still been in our sci-fi mindset a little bit, where we got rid of the pilot presentation, like the very looseness of it, of mm-hmm. just like put these girls in a house and have them do their thing, where we started. And other people from the outside were all saying this, of like, no, how are the girls affected in each episode, and everyone has to have their own arc and everything like that. And so that became like a real, like, they started becoming more and more elaborate, and more and pages started adding up.
Right. We needed a B story and a C story.
Yeah.
And at the end, we didn't end up shooting 90% of those anyways.
Yeah.
We had to do one of these a day.
Wow.
Shoot.
That
yeah.
was the shoot schedule?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah, that
How did you guys even do that?
Well, we ended up not quite shooting everything, which I think in the end was fine because we had to find creative editing ways to really simplify them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we didn't get through all our pages, I don't think, ever.
No, it was a rough.
But even,
I mean, 15 pages, like 12 to 15 pages a day.
That's unbelievable.
Is impossible.
How much pre-production time did you have?
Not much, right?
We went into we started writing in October, and they had to be finished by the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think the scripts were done late November.
Well, there was this weird period in the middle where we weren't working. So yeah, like we weren't writing directly from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But we only had there was no real pre-production.
Our first pre-production meeting, I believe, was 2 days before we started shooting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was I wouldn't recommend the way we did it.
And also, I was shooting a sitcom at the time, so we didn't even know if I could act in it until, like, right up to when we shot it.
Did you think about recasting you?
Yeah, we were. That was the plan.
Raven Simone. Yeah.
Sure, obviously.
It was always Raven Simone.
Yeah, it always will be Raven Simone. In my mind, that's
Are you a little disappointed?
Believe me.
She was, yeah. But luckily, that worked out. That was such a relief, because we were just kind of all in denial about it, I think, like... but yeah, it worked out good.
We ended up writing the season finale, the two-part season finale, is about Amanda going and doing another show.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that you guys came out with the quality that you did on that
of
schedule. Let's step back for a second and talk about that writing process, because that's what we do here. How do the three of you write together? Because the scripts are, for the most part, credited to the three of you and sometimes a fourth writer.
We had three writers on staff, which were Monica Padrick, Johnny Mays, and Ryan Corrigan. And Monica's on Community now, I think.
Mm-hmm. And Johnny's writing for Billy on the Street.
Right. And
Ryan's doing some Photoshop work for
us. Yes. Ryan's doing anything. Ryan hasn't had time to do anything but help us out with anything we need.
Oh, man.
but three very talented writers. But we had them, and we were in a writer's room with them for about 2 weeks. And then we had to, because of what happened was Amanda and I have such a specific voice that these scripts were great. They were a great base for the episodes, but we started to realize, like, that we needed to go over the scripts and now put our voice back in it. So then Amanda, Jeremy, and I took, like, 3 more weeks, maybe, and we had to go through every one of those scripts and put our own voices into it, which was super, super hard.
Yeah.
But we would write at Jeremy's house. We'd go over, and he'd put up his...
Apple TV was the best.
Yeah.
I would just put it on the big screen, and we all just sit around and... can't recommend it enough partner writing.
Yeah, I mean, and it sounds like what a lot of comedy writers' rooms do when they, you know, do line-by-line rewrites in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys just were doing it on a smaller scale. But what were you guys doing with... Were you breaking stories with the writers' room when you had it?
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of... what are those things called? They're bigger than Post-it notes.
Index cards. They're our sponsors.
But this was the time when all of the people at Shine America who produced it and Yahoo were very adamant about us having A, B, and C stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we had to, you know, it was no longer, oh, let's just put them here and they'll just do funny things. You know, we had to, with the writers, go like, okay, and then what happens to, it was much more structured than we had been used to.
Yeah. And luckily, I mean, I know Marie and I had not been in a writer's room before.
Mm-hmm.
So Monica, who had experience in a writer's room, was able to kind of help us structure it and like, what's the most efficient way to do this. So it was a lot of generating concepts for the scenes or for the episodes. And so I think it was the first week was that I was doing it via Skype a lot because I was shooting.
Oh, wow.
But I made it in
so fast. It's so crazy because the show hadn't been established yet. We didn't know exactly what it was, even though we'd done a pilot presentation 2 years earlier or something. We didn't really know what the tone was. Mm-hmm. We didn't know if we were going to actually reshoot. We were planning on completely reshooting that episode as well.
Wow.
Right.
Cool.
So then we would assign each writer a script, and they'd bring it in, and we'd workshop it. And then when it got to be just the three of us later, it was just like 24 hours a day
We were given 2 weeks with three other writers who we had never worked with before to then create what's 12 times 12?
Nobody knows.
144. About that much content.
Yeah.
Like 144 pages in 2 weeks.
That's a lot.
With six people.
And 12 different stories.
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing. It's not like you're writing just a feature script either. It's, you know.
And like very specific voice, very specific jokes, very specific. Like everything had to be.
And we had all of this production stuff we had to worry about. Because when you have to shoot one of these in a day, and we learned the hard way on some of these where we were like, no, it's okay to put three locations in this one episode. And then you realize that those two company moves, like, destroy. It's so painful.
It's funny, though. I mean, they never seem hemmed in. You know, like, it feels like these characters live in the world, and it never feels like we're just shooting in this one room. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys made the most of those locations, apparently.
I think we were overly ambitious by planning so many locations, mm-hmm. and so I think we mm-hmm. would scale it back a little bit. That was really tough.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
What were the particular writing challenges for you guys? You know, you had done shorter form stuff, you had done improvised stuff. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I'm wondering how structure hit you.
That was difficult for me. I mean, we had lucky to have Jeremy there who had like written scripts. I mean, mm-hmm. I had never even used Final Draft before, so that was really
interesting. She was just using Kid Picks.
But yeah, so I think there was a learning curve definitely with how do you do a montage and how do you say that someone is, you know, or how do you do a dream sequence?
Oh my God, that's ridiculous. Did you look at examples or Jeremy, did you walk them through it? I mean, how did that work?
There was a lot of, because it would be up on this mm-hmm. screen, we had a pretty easy time sort of figuring out. We also bought a book called Mr. Format.
Oh, yeah.
Or Dr. Format?
He helped a lot. He had a friendly face.
I don't know what that is at all.
He's a doctor.
Sure.
Who wrote a book
about screenplays.
And it's just the nuts and bolts of screenplays?
Yeah, you go to, like, dream sequences, and he's like, this is how you do it. And he was very comforting. He was very, and his face is on the cover, so you feel very good. He's on the cover, right?
No, that's a drawing of him.
I thought that was his real face.
That's amazing.
Yeah, structure is super hard for me, personally. I can't wrap my head around it.
There's a lot of you going, but who cares?
there was a lot.
Just who cares?
Exactly.
Well, there is, I mean, I feel like you get into something like this where there have to be rules and there have to be...
Well, that was another thing. I wanted ghost rules laid out.
Oh,
hardcore,
yeah.
And that was a thing.
Sci-fi. Oh, my God. We spend months on our ghost rules.
They really get hung up on that.
Yeah.
But to be fair, it is helpful later on because in certain instances, we didn't follow, like, a ghost rule or we kind of, like, fudged it a little mm-hmm. and then it came back to bite us because we were like, whoa, wait. Why is this happening? Why can this person see them?
Well, give me some examples of those conversations that you guys had.
I know that there was what was the ghost rule Maria was really diehard about? It was that ghosts can't, they can't pick something up or there was one.
Yeah, well, I had to re-edit the whole scene. Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah, they can't pick. My thing was they can't pick it. They can't move things unless they're charged to do so. Or, like unless they're very angry or emotional.
Yeah,
about
or
it.
A ghost can
like in Ghost.
Right, we were stealing a lot from like Sixth Sense and Ghost.
Those rules
and Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah, or if they died with an object on their body, then they could have it with them mm-hmm. in the afterlife.
Yes,
but if they didn't, they can't just like pick up a cup of coffee.
Right.
No, but that was in this one episode with Bob. When we're shooting it, he grabs this book out of your hands. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really think anything of it. None of us really were like, oh, that's totally violating all ghost rules. And then we got in the editing room and suddenly when a ghost just appears out of thin air and then reaches over and grabs this book, it was like, oh, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
Oh, it really takes you out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So you had to edit around.
Yeah, I had to do lots of very bizarre editing.
What was the relationship with the production company like, and with Yahoo, for that matter? Did you get notes from them?
Well, Yahoo was incredible. I mean, they really just kind of... That's the beauty of doing stuff for this budget and this schedule and everything. They're like, they get it. They're mm-hmm. like, just go make it, mm-hmm. make it great. And
can I ask about the budget? You can give us a high or low or, you know, however you
I
want
was
to talk
never
about
told.
It.
Jeremy kept it shielded. It was like Jeremy
you didn't
was like
even get
the
paid, did
Jeremy
you?
Was like the parent who was like, no, the money's fine, it will be fine. And Amanda and I were like, okay.
Well, I mean, Jeremy, you've worked on a number of different kinds of projects of varying budgets. Was this, you know, a challenging budget for you? Was it? I mean,
it wasn't a
luxury.
Nothing. I mean, it was really not nothing. I think that.
And Yahoo is kind of known for putting money behind it.
They put money behind it, and then Shine America matched it.
Oh, wow.
And that, by the way, I don't think we've mentioned Jack Black, have we?
No.
We did Electric Dynamite, but not Jack Black specifically.
Yeah. Jack is the one who saw this, mm-hmm. took it to, and his company took it to Shine America.
So that's great.
Jack is sort of responsible for this.
Yeah, no one would have given us the time of day. Jack Black wouldn't have.
He championed
been on board.
It.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic to have that.
Yeah.
all right. Sorry. Excuse me. All right. So you guys had this ridiculous shoot. And then how much post-production, I mean, if you were doing editing, where you would edit around someone picking up a book. Oh, you know what? Before we get to that, I'll let you think about it. Let's talk about casting this thing. Obviously, okay. You guys were going to star. But there's a great guest cast that comes through so many of these episodes. And even, like, people that, you know, actors who the audience may not necessarily recognize do an amazing job.
Yeah, right.
You guys got great cast.
We had a great casting, directing team.
Yeah, Demo McCarthy.
Yeah,
casting.
Angela Demo and Barbara McCarthy. They were super, they had such great taste and brought in such great people. Celebrity-wise, I mean, Jeremy and Jack and one of the producers, Priyanka Matu at Electric Dynamite, they all have celebrity friends that they were able to call and bring over. Amanda and I didn't know.
Still don't know any celebrities.
Didn't we know one celebrity we tried to get
you
into?
You always try to get Phil of the Future on.
Oh, yeah, I know someone who knows him.
What is that show?
I don't know. Johnny knows him. I don't really know. I think maybe, we didn't know any celebrities. Now we do.
So the ones who have been on the show. So who can people look for in the show? And, you know, obviously these people are coming in and doing it because they want to do, because they responded to the material.
Money.
Right.
Just the money.
That's what it's all about.
Just the money.
But you got some great performances on this
casting. Yeah. And a lot of those were kind of last minute. There would be times where we were wrapping a shoot at 10 p.m. and needed someone as the main guest star in the episode the next day because one of our celebrities wasn't able to do it or something. So there were a lot of, like, late night panic calls to people and friends who you'd be like, can you work tomorrow? And they'd be like, yeah, of course. And then you're like, oh, actually, sorry, we don't need you. We found someone slightly more famous than you. And it just felt so awful. But you just have all this pressure to get names in this because you want people to watch it.
Yeah,
that is a consideration. We were talking earlier about the Odenkirk episode, and you brought it up as well, which, I mean, Bob does such a great job in this.
Amazing.
He's really fun to watch.
That's one of my favorites.
It's a great one.
He's so good in that.
Do you know where it comes in the order of release?
They're all being released
at
one time on September 9th.
But I think it's like the 7th episode.
Yesterday.
That was yesterday. That was a good day, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot happened in the
Congratulations
world.
On getting that second season.
Oh, thank you.
Based on views in the first day.
The internet shut down, right? It was so many.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it exploded.
Was there anyone involved? This is like the nerdy question that I hate. I don't let the audience ask when we have an audience. But was there anyone involved that you guys were super excited to act with?
Those last 2 days were blowing everyone's mind.
Yeah. It was Val Kilmer, Jack Black, and Dave Grohl. And playing a country rock music band. You guys have seen it the last two episodes.
Yeah, you guys saw it. It came out yesterday.
Yeah. And they were on set for one day, actually. It was the most magical day. I think we worked 17 hours or something.
I could have stayed there for the rest of my life.
It was amazing. I mean, it was just, the whole crew was so excited, and we were all exhausted because we've been working so hard, but everyone had their camera phones out the whole time, and there was this one point where they were jamming and playing like a Doors song, and Val Kilmer was singing, and it was just really magical.
It was Break On Through.
Oh, right.
And, and Dave was playing the drums, and I mean, it was crazy. There's one scene where I'm sitting on the floor with Jack and Val and Dave, and it took a really long time to shoot because it was like this weird, like, circular, what do you call that kind of?
We were doing a steady cam, like, all
and it took like an hour or so, but I was just sitting there with these guys, and I was just thinking to myself, like, we were just talking, and I honestly couldn't believe it. Like, I could not believe
what was
happening. And then Amanda had the same thing with Molly Shannon. She had a lot of scenes with Molly.
Yeah,
and
who plays Heidi's mother. And she's, like, I've looked up to her since forever. And she's just so sweet. I mean, she was the nicest lady. And we just, like, she just loves to girl talk.
Yeah, she loves to talk about celebs.
Oh my God,
she was
hilarious.
So fun.
It was all. I mean, every day working with different, like Jason Schwartzman was crazy. Like him and Jason Ritter on set were so much fun. Everybody.
I would really be very happy if we could do a spin-off show of the two of them. They play rival ghost hunters. They're the Ghost Bros.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I want them to be very, very prevalent in the second season that we just got.
Sure. I was actually gonna ask. You know, in you guys must have come up with so many stories in that first round, even before the writers and then with the writers. Do you feel like there's stuff that was left on the table?
You can't even imagine how much. Yeah. What I'm really interested in is, Maria, you had just texted us that you were watching Ghost Adventures last night.
My favorite show, Ghost Adventures.
And now you have a bunch of ideas.
Wait,
for season two.
I don't know what Ghost Adventures
is. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Don't get her started.
Ghost Adventures is this show on the Travel Channel, and it's Zach Bagans. You should follow him on Twitter because it's amazing. He posts, like, pictures of just Gatorade bottles, and he's like getting it on.
Getting it on.
Here, will you
getting
find some
volume?
So amazing.
So Zach Bagans, he hosts it, and it's him and his two bro friends, and they wear, like, afflicted tees. And they go into these haunted houses, and he's like, all right, ghosts, come and get me. And he, like, taunts them. He taunts them to come down, and, like, and they're just these three bros. They're like, bro, did someone scratch me? And it's so amazing. I love him. And I keep tweeting at him, and he won't tweet me back. Like, he refuses to. Zach.
The show hasn't come out yet.
Right, yeah.
Once the show comes out.
And get him for season two.
Yeah.
Clearly.
I don't know, but the way they got... I just watched the documentary that the show was based on, because I guess they did this documentary where they got, like, an actual image of a ghost, you guys, walking across the room. Like, it's not doctored. It's an actual image of...
What?
Yes. You should...
Absolutely.
You should watch it.
I'm surprised I didn't see it on the news.
I have a question for you, Ben, while we're finding stuff. This is something that I'm not quite sure... So in, like, the ghost, supernatural, sci-fi fandom world, mm-hmm. Will people be very disappointed if we're not believers?
I'm a believer.
I know.
Well, besides Maria.
I'm just saying if we're not, like, champions of...
It's a good question. And honestly, Acker and I have asked ourselves this as well. And there is always that thing, you know, you see it at Comic-Con, right? When some big movie star goes and does a superhero movie and they say, oh, I've always loved comics, right? Is it the same thing that if you say, we've made a show about ghosts? Yeah, no, there's no such thing as ghosts. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, we can ask that question whenever we do press. One of their questions is always, do you guys believe in ghosts? Or have you ever seen ghosts? And then it's so boring if you just say, like, no. So, I mean, but luckily, I've seen ghosts.
What luck.
I don't know if they were ghosts or shadows. But...
Would you, as an audience member for a thing, be disappointed if you found out that the creators of the thing were like, no, it was just a really fun idea we had?
Well, like, for me, I love the show Nashville. So if...
Absolutely.
If Connie Britton was like, I hate country music, I hate this, I think
what would happen to you, Amanda?
I think I would cross over.
Wait, you'd die?
No, I would die. No, I think, I don't think it would matter to me, honestly.
Were you upset that Bill Murray is not really into ghosts?
That's a very good example.
Although Dan Aykroyd is.
But sure.
I'm not upset about that.
Right. And there's something to it being a comedy as well. You know, I think you get some leeway.
I mean, we were watching episodes of Ghost Whisperer, and there were things that, like, it's just a comedy without intending to be a comedy.
Yeah, we watched one episode of The Ghost Whisperer, I think, and we were able to generate maybe 10 episodes just from that one episode. But we drew a lot structure-wise from The Ghost Whisperer as well.
So.
How they balance the... It is a procedural in a way where they balance her life working at the antique store, right?
Yeah.
And then she just bumps into these ghosts every day.
I was going to ask about the other research that you guys did. What did you check out, other material? I mean, obviously you're watching Ghost Bros or whatever.
Ghost Adventures. You guys check it out for real. The new season just started, and it's out
of control. Watch Ghost Girls.
Watch Ghost Adventures, honestly.
It's so good.
But so you watched Ghost Whisperer. You took some stuff from that.
Yeah,
but
it really like, was watching one episode like five times.
I feel like more that's kind of in the cultural lexicon, though. Like we know what that show is even without watching.
Yeah, yeah. Medium. We looked a little bit at Medium. Mm-hmm. I think. What else is out there that we
watched? We were looking at a lot of, we initially came at it and said, this is a show about a couple of ghost hunters. And we started looking at all of the shows about ghost hunters and realized that those are actually all these sort of fake reality or actual quote-unquote reality shows.
Ghost Adventures is real. I'm going to go on record right now and say that that's the one real one. Continue. I can't let Zach Bagan's name go anything but to the stars. I don't know what that means.
I do.
There you go.
You don't make me laugh.
No one makes me laugh.
You were talking about things being fake, but not Ghost Adventures.
So you were saying...
No, you were saying...
I think what you were going to say, if I may, was that we ended up drawing more from, like, Ghost Whisperer.
Oh, yeah. And Medium. And that it was a fake drama procedural rather than a fake reality show.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Although, if we did a season two, I'd love for the Ghost Girls to get on a ghost reality show, like, with the Ghost Bros. Like, it's a competition between the Ghost Girls and the Ghost Bros. Wouldn't that be great?
We also...
What? Yes. What?
I was stuck in the last question.
Oh. You need help? Do you need help getting out of there?
Yeah. I was going to say, it's not a parody. It's not a strict parody.
No,
I think you're right. I feel like that comes in large part from the characters and the world. You guys take the world seriously. But was this a conscious choice, or is this just, you know, the way you guys write?
I think it was a very conscious choice. Mm-hmm. We really wanted the ghosts to be going through a real thing, the people in the world to be going through a real thing, so that whatever they're doing is just funnier. We sort of always equated it to the Bill Murray scene when he goes to her house and says, you know, mm-hmm. they hate it when you do this.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, that works. Before we wrap up, I just want to ask a couple of quick things. Comedy influences for you guys? Obviously, you were excited to meet Molly Shannon.
Love Molly Shannon.
But besides that, what was stuff that was influential to you as a youth or even, you know, later on that you feel like formed your comedy perspective?
I mean, but this is always embarrassing because, like, I really like, you know, like, Peter Sellers in the... No, I know, because, like, I feel like the better answer is to be like, oh, someone that's around right now that's, like, a woman.
Comedy's comedy.
I know.
That's not an embarrassing answer, Maria. I was going to say Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion.
That's not embarrassing, though. That's really funny.
No, it is.
That's a really funny movie.
That's one of my favorite movies ever. And I love The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow, too.
Yeah, Lisa Kudrow's current, like, the most current comedy influence, which I would say Lisa Kudrow, really? Especially in The Comeback, is so funny. She's so... Because what I love in comedic performances is when it's truthful and when it's not like, well, I'm just playing for a laugh and someone's like screaming and like has a funny wig on, mm-hmm. which is, you know, hilarious when I do it for Amanda
in front of them. Yeah.
but I like it when performances are super real and it's just based in truth.
Yeah, comedy that verges on painful to watch is always some of my favorite. Mm-hmm. The Comeback really achieved that.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved Peter. My dad would have me watch, sit me down and make me watch like Peter Sellers movies, like The Party and Pink Panther. And then the Dick Van Dyke Show, I think, is like the funniest show ever written. I think that that's a great idea of just a simple concept and taking great characters and getting them to have great relationships with each other.
Did you ever see on the DVD of the Dick Van Dyke Show, the pilot, mm-hmm. with Carl Reiner.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen
it. It's word for word, moment for moment, the same show. And it's pretty good.
It's really interesting. It doesn't have the spark that the Dick Van Dyke
show
has.
See, that's going to happen with us.
Fascinating.
Raven Simone. People are going to go, we're going to redo this whole season, and Raven's going to be in it. And people are going to go see.
My arch nemesis.
Now it's out there.
What is she doing?
Don't worry about it. She's fine.
Do you have her somewhere?
Don't worry about it. She's going to be fine. She's going to get out safe.
Is there stuff you guys are excited about, comedy or otherwise, that you're watching, that you're reading in movies and television that you're, you know, getting you inspired these days?
I love Girls.
Yeah.
No, he said, what's your favorite show?
What did he say?
I was making a joke.
Oh. I love Girls and I love Girls.
Sure.
Girls.
So, all right, that's a good answer.
I've been watching does it have to be comedy? Because
no,
I've been watching a lot of Breaking Bad. But you know what? Bob Odenkirk in that show, this is my favorite kind of comedy, is when it's so serious and so real, and then you've got this character that's just so absurd that it's the funniest thing in the world. See, I think Bob Odenkirk in that show is so funny.
I think Veep does a lot of that, where there's just moments that are so real.
Mm-hmm.
And Louis, of course.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Louis is great.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a pitch about Louis?
Oh, yeah. I have this idea. I think it might be Maria and I and Jeremy's next project. I describe it as Louis. It would star Maria and I, be directed by Jeremy. I haven't told Jeremy this, but it's Louis.
We're going to get his immediate reaction.
Okay, hear me out. It's Louis meets Center Stage.
The movie Center Stage.
I've never seen the movie.
No guys.
No, because you're
Stage.
A man.
No, it doesn't matter. It's about dance. It's about love. It's about moving to New York and following your dream.
Yeah, it's a coming of age romantic horror flick.
Zoe Saldana's in it.
Who else?
The famous comedian.
The famous horror comedian. Wait, what is?
So Center Stage is a beautiful movie about a young dancer who gets into a ballet academy and then starts to stir things up.
Because she doesn't have a good turnout.
Like me, I've got knock knees.
I don't have a good turnout either, but I honestly to this day don't know what that means.
Your hips are tight, girl.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
How do you turn? But you can't turn out your hips.
There's a way. There's a machine, you can get it. It's a Russian.
Is that true?
Thing. Yeah.
I hope our show has a great turnout.
Oh, Jeremy, it's not as easy as it looks.
Terrible.
I still don't know what turnout is. You can't make your hips turn.
Yes, you can.
Before we move on, Jeremy, while we have you here, Drunk History, we all know, was the best thing that was on these past 2 months.
Oh,
we can
you.
All agree, and
yeah.
Twitter agrees. So much fun. Do you know anything about another season?
We're figuring it out. I mean, we were going back and forth and figuring out schedule and budget and all that stuff.
It is September 10th, so you haven't heard anything?
Did you hear anything yesterday?
Yeah,
based on the success of Ghost Girls?
I know that we got a second season, Ghost Girls, but what's going on?
I heard it was the second and third.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah,
I
didn't want
to. What's crazy is they bought 100 episodes.
And you have to shoot one a day.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck, you guys.
So we're excited about it.
It really is a great show. Ghost Girls was fantastic.
Thanks.
I hope people are flipping out over it, which by today we'll know if they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, my gosh.
My tenses are all messed up.
We can't even get out the door. There's people lined up.
My phone is ringing off the hook. My voicemail's full.
And you finally got that hook for your cell phone.
And it fell off it.
Yeah. Seriously, congratulations.
Thank
it's
you.
Great.
Thanks, thanks for having us.
Google Ghost Girls.
Google
G-H-I-R-L-S.
Yahoo it.
Yahoo
it. Don't
Yahoo,
Google it.
But if you can't find Yahoo, then just Google it.
Right. But then go to the Yahoo. I'm sure
Google
they can go
Yahoo.
To the Yahoo homepage and click on videos and
if
stuff
you
and they'll find it.
Yeah, Google Yahoo.
And we'll put a link on this very podcast description, and people can check it out.
Awesome.
Congratulations, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.